Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The book of Proverbs is a collection of illustrations that have been taken from everyday life and that are designed to teach us how we are to live in this world. And the writer there points out things that we should do, things that we shouldn't do, things that we should avoid, because the consequences of those things could be devastating, not only for us, but for those around us. Proverbs is like a map with insights, with wisdom to help us navigate through the spiritual dilemmas that we find in our life, the difficulties that we find, because we all have to make decisions every day of our life. And this information that we find in Proverbs is timeless because it has been given to us by the Spirit of God. And so, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We are told there that where there is no vision, where there is no understanding to see the things of God, to see the way that God sees things, then the people are unrestrained, it says. Parah in Hebrew. They are wandering around without any direction, without any guidance. They are running wild. But it says there that if they will listen to God's law, and if they can understand it and actually apply it to their lives and obey it, the results will be far different. It says there they will be blessed. Good advice. But Romans chapter 10 tells us this. How will they know? How will they understand? How will they hear? Unless God raises up men to bring them that word, to teach them the truth. Who will explain it to them? Who will give the sense of it, it says in Nehemiah chapter 8. Who will lead them so that they can understand what God has to say through His word? So God has chosen to raise up men from among His people to lead His church, His people, His church, so that the people within the church will not wander around like sheep without a shepherd. And God uses those men as His voice to speak through His word, so that He can lead His people like a flock. And as the Apostle Paul was writing to his good friend Titus, a fellow worker in the gospel, he wrote to him while Titus was on the island of Crete, and that was the problem among the believers on Crete. There were no biblical teachers. There were no leaders. There were no men to set the direction of the churches, the groups of believers that were on that island. So there was disorder, and there was misunderstanding, there was error, and there was sin among those people. So God, through Paul, tells Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, for this reason, tutu haran, for this blessing, when I needed to leave Crete and to go and to minister in other places, Titus, I left you there. Apaleo, I instructed you that for just a short time you had to remain on Crete. It is critical for you to stay there, because you are there for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for their spiritual well-being. Things aren't on track yet in Crete. So I have left you there that you might set those things in order. Epidiortho, that you might straighten them out. A word used to describe the procedure of setting a bone that had been broken, putting it in a cast, in a splint, in order to straighten it out. That's the idea here. You've been left there, Titus. It is your responsibility to straighten things out within the churches on Crete. Straighten them out according to the word of God. What remains, he says, lepo, the things that have not yet been done, the things that need to be corrected. You are there in order to help the people in these fellowships. Titus, here's what you must do. Verse 5. Appoint. Kathistemi. Confirm. Confirm the biblical leadership. The same way that it was done in Antioch. Acts chapter 13. How was it done there? What did the leaders do? They fasted. They prayed. They asked God to give them insight, and it says the Holy Spirit made it known to them that he had set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that he had called them to do. We do not confirm, appoint. We only confirm what the Holy Spirit has already appointed. Isn't that what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that the Holy Spirit is the one who has raised you up, he said, to be the guardians of the flock? We just confirm what he's already decided to do. And that's your job, Titus. That's what you're to do. You're to bring your thoughts in line with him. Bring your thoughts in line with the word. Bring them in line with Christ. So Paul says, I'm writing this letter. Use this letter that I'm writing to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as your guide, so that you can understand this information that God has given to me. And read it to those in the fellowships on Crete so that they'll also understand what God expects from his leaders, from his shepherds, what he expects them to be like. Paul says in verse 5, they are to be elders, presbyteros. They are to be men of spiritual maturity, men of integrity, men of character. And so, in every city, Titus, wherever there is a group of believers, you are to travel to each of those cities on Crete. And you are to find those men, which could be a rather lengthy process since at that time Crete was called an island of 100 cities with a territory of about 3,000 square miles. That was quite an assignment for Titus. But Paul says that is your assignment. You are to cover that territory. This is what is required to you, of you, he said, as I directed you, via Tasso, as I have already determined and designated in our previous conversation. So now I'm confirming it to you in writing. Namely, if any man be above reproach, he should be considered for this responsibility. Anankletos, it's a legal term. No one should be able to bring a charge against this man. No one should be able to call this man's life into question. No one should be able to say that this man is living and disgracing Jesus Christ. There should be moral purity. There should be spiritual purity in the life of this man. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Remember, Paul said the same thing, didn't he, to Timothy? But there, when he spoke about this idea of being above reproach, he used a different word there. He used anapileptos in Greek, which means nobody should be able to take hold of this man so that he is accused of hypocrisy. So, the life of this man who would be a leader in the church must be an example to the believers in the church. An example for them to follow. And an example for those outside of the church, a vessel of honor who's fit to be used by our master. That's only one of the requirements. But he says, if this elder is married, he must be the husband of one wife. Nias gunekitos. He must be a man who is devoted to one woman, to one wife, to his wife. It's a phrase that really doesn't so much speak to his marital status, but it speaks more to his marital virtue. It speaks of his faithfulness. The faithfulness of this man to his wife. It speaks of a man whose heart, whose mind, whose body belong to only his wife. It speaks of a man whose behavior is unstained by impurity, who has not betrayed the trust that Christ has given to him, and that trust is that he is to give his life for his wife, to his wife, as Christ gave himself for the church. That's the kind of man that God is looking for to lead his people. And in that marriage, Paul says, if there are children, technon, sons and daughters, well then by God's grace, and through his faithful leadership and his testimony, there will be children, Paul says, who believe, pistos, who have faith in Christ. Children who are following him. Children who are not accused of dissipation, Paul says. Astotia, children who haven't abandoned their life to wickedness. Children who do not live and are not wasting their life in sin. Or who even defy authority, Paul says, in rebellion. Anapodikos, who are out of order, out of line. If a man is to lead the household of God, the family of God, he must first learn how to lead his own family. Must do that by maintaining appropriate order and discipline in an environment of love and of patience and of prayer. By God's grace, then he will be able to care for the family of God. What Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 as the gentleness of a nursing mother, and as the encouragement of a father, that's how he's to lead the family of God. He's to be a light to his family. He's to be a light within the church. He's to have a life that has been a proven example of what it means to glorify Christ. High standards. But then it's a high calling, isn't it? And this man, this leader, Paul says, this elder, must not only be a man of spiritual maturity, but it says he must be an overseer, an episkopos in Greek, one who watches, and sees the danger, one who is alert and is able to correct, to defend the sheep, a guardian of the flock. One who is able to protect those that Christ has died to save. This is the type of man that Titus is to confirm as a leader in the church. So again, Paul says this in verse 7. It is necessary that this man, he must be above reproach. He must be a man of integrity as he functions within the body of Christ. Otherwise, he will disgrace Christ. He is a steward, God's steward, oikonomos. He's a manager. A manager of the household. It's not his church. It's not his ministry. But he has been entrusted with a responsibility to care for what belongs to God, what belongs to Christ. He has been equipped by God to handle that responsibility. So as servants, stewards of divine truth, these men must be faithful to this task. It must be a priority in their life. They must not be self-willed, Paul says in verse 7. Alphades. They must not be looking out for themselves, focused on themselves, arrogant and proud and aggressive, self-assertive. Things that the world values in its leaders, right? Sometimes they're called natural born leaders. But those things are of no value in those who represent Jesus Christ. Because like Christ, we have come to serve, not to be served. We have come to sacrifice ourselves in devotion to Him. The business model for leadership doesn't work within the church of Christ. It has no place in the leadership in the household of God. The Lord's looking for special men, isn't He? A special kind of man. A man, it says, who is not quick-tempered or gilos. One who's not always on the edge of getting angry and who is not so easily provoked and is ready to react to any given situation with a disagreeable and a quarrelsome spirit. God doesn't want men like that to be leaders in His church. I'm reminded in James 1:20, it says that kind of anger, that kind of resentment that just smolders inside of us and then sometimes erupts in wrath. We're told there that kind of behavior does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's not acceptable in His eyes. And so it is not to be found in those who would lead His people. Yes, even when things are difficult. And they can be difficult sometime for the leadership in the church. When everyone is criticizing. When there are problems. But the man of God must be long-suffering. Must show patience. The way that God has shown patience to us. So we all need to examine our hearts here, don't we? We all need to guard it. Protect. Protect it by the word of God. Because, you know, the greatest sermon that we will ever preach is the sermon of our life, isn't it? People can disagree with our words, and they do. But they can't disagree. They can't argue with our life. They can't argue with a life that is given to Christ. A life that desires to walk in obedience to Him. Those are the kind of men that people will follow within the church. What did David say? Interesting. Psalm 101 verse 6. David said, "These are the ones who will minister to me." And what will those men be like? This is the king. He said, "They are men who walk before God, who walk before men in the way of integrity. Those are the kind of men who lead. Paul tells us that these men are not to be addicted to wine. Paranos. They're not to sit alongside the wine. That's what it means. They're not to make strong drink their friend. It's exactly what he said to Timothy, isn't it? 1 Timothy 3:3. He said, look at your life. Look at the lives of these men who would be leaders in the church. What kind of reputation do they have? Are they men of God? Or are these men who are consumed by these things? They're consumed by their lusts, by their passions, by their desires. Look at their lives. You'll see. You know, at the time Paul wrote this letter, much of the drinking water was contaminated by bacteria. We know that. And so the people drank a beverage that was a mixture of water, which had been diluted with a little wine in order to kill the bacteria. Mixture of 10 parts water to 1 part wine. Maybe more. But you know, sometimes because of the warm climate and because there was no refrigeration, it was possible that if you drank enough of that mixture, you could get intoxicated if you lingered by the wine. And then what would happen? Paul says your judgment could be affected as well as your reputation. Leviticus chapter 10, what did God say to the priests of Israel? He told them they weren't to drink wine, they weren't to have any strong drink when they came into the place of worship, and he said, because it is a holy place. Every place is a holy place for us. Proverbs 31. We're told they're kings. Those who make decisions that affect the lives of other people said they're not to drink wine or strong drink because they might end up making the wrong decision concerning those people. But we're told there, give wine, give strong drink to who? Says to those who are perishing, to those who are bitter, to those who have no hope. But don't give wine to the leaders who would lead God's people. But at the same time, Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. Use it for medicinal purposes, for health reasons. Titus was to find men like that. Men to be leaders in the church at Crete. And as difficult as it is, or was then, it's certainly that as difficult today to find men like that. Be careful who you confirm for that place, for that assignment, that responsibility. Are we that careful? Are we that careful in the church today? Well, look around at the leaders, and you might answer that question for yourself. These men, Paul says, are not to be pugnacious, plactis. They're not to be fighters. They're not to be strikers. They're not to be the type of men who resort to violence or to intimidation in order to settle disagreements or to achieve their goals. Do we look for someone like that? We look for someone who isn't in it for the money, who isn't in it for the fame, for the power, for the glory. Someone, Paul says, who's not fond of sordid gain. Escroterdes, one who is not greedy, who's not interested in what he can get out of the ministry, but is who is interested in what he can give to the ministry, give to God's people, give to God. Titus, look for men who are hospitable, philoxenos, men who love strangers, men who do not value one person above another person, but who are willing to show kindness and consideration to all men. We're reminded why Paul wrote this. Because in Paul's day, there were no hotels or motels for travelers. Only inns, and the inns had the reputation of danger and wickedness. So travelers from other fellowships would stay in the homes of those in the local fellowship, even when they didn't know them. And that's the idea here. Love those that you do not know. Care about them, because they're brothers and sisters in Christ. And reach out to those who do not know Christ, loving them, ministering to them, even in the midst of your own need. Loving what is good, Paul says. Philagathos. Be a friend. Be a real friend. Be kind. Be generous. He says in verse 8, be sensible. Sophron. Have saving thoughts. Think clearly, with a sound mind that is centered, that is focused on Christ and on His Word. We're not to allow the wickedness or even the shallowness of those around us to distract us from our commitment to Christ. We are to focus on Him, strong in the Lord, strong in His Word. Be just, Paul says, dikaios, be committed to what is right, to what is pure before God. It's a legal term. Here's the verdict. God is pleased when it is our desire to reflect His character in our lives, when we desire above all else to live a life of purity and of holiness. Says, be devout, verse 8. Hoseos, be committed to what is holy. Have a genuine desire to honor Christ by obedience in every area of your life. Free from the stain of sin, living in fear, in the reverence of Christ. That's the kind of men. You know, that's the kind of women. That is the kind of life we are all to live, and the leaders provide the example for us. We are to be, Paul says, self-controlled. And krates, we are to exercise restraint over our lives, over the things that would lead us away from Christ. We're to be aware and be careful of our thoughts, of our attitude, as well as our behavior and our actions. And we are to bring all of these things into line with the Word of God so that we might live with a clear conscience in the integrity of our heart and by His grace continually being cleansed from our sin by the blood of Christ. This is a standard, a high standard of excellence, but this is the standard that God demands. This is the standard that God demands of His people, and this is the standard that He demands of His leaders in the church. Those we are to follow as an example. Those who would lead us. And Paul says those who would teach us. The elders. The overseers must be able to teach the truth of the Word of God. Holding fast, he says in verse 9, antekel, clinging onto it, seizing it, not letting go of the faithful Word, Paul says, the trustworthy instruction that is found in the Bible. That instruction which is in accordance, he says, with the teaching, with the doctrine that is found, the learning that is found in there. Only then will we be able to nourish and to feed the flock of God. if we have His Word. Teachers of the Word of God aren't to change the message. They're not to make it more user-friendly or more socially acceptable. But instead, their assignment, our assignment, is to faithfully bring that message as God has given it to us. Accurately wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why? Paul says, so that they may be able, dunatos, so they will have the strength, be strong enough to do two things, he says in verse 9. First, to exhort, parakaleo, to comfort those who are afflicted, to encourage those who are discouraged, to come alongside of them and to strengthen them with what? With our opinions and our thoughts? Paul says no, to strengthen them in sound doctrine, in hugiailo, with life-giving words that will bring health and strength and growth to them. And the leaders in the church, in fact, all of us, must be able to use the word to refute, elenco, to expose error and misunderstanding, to correct those in the church who contradict, who antilego, who speak against the truth. And that is sometimes very subtle, isn't it? Those who would add to His Word, those who would take away from His Word. But the true leaders in the church are always on guard for that, aren't they? They're always vigilant, always ready to protect those in the church who have been entrusted to them by God. And when we find men like that, we should treasure them, because they're a gift from God. Because 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us the time will come when the people will refuse to listen to this sound doctrine. They will refuse to listen to the Word of God, but they will want to be entertained. And they will want to hear a message that makes them feel good, but doesn't lead them to godliness. And so, we're told, they will only accept leaders and elders and teachers in accordance with those desires. And so they will be unrestrained. They will wander from the truth and they will perish. Words that are perhaps being fulfilled right before our eyes, even today. The Lord be merciful to us and give us men who are His servants. Men who will lead us and guide us safely home. May it be that when the Lord looks at our life, and He weighs our life on the scale and evaluates us, may it be that He will find weight. He will find value. He will find the weight of integrity in us. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.